for 10 years. I want to get in there and so if you're able to support us at BrandonGaylor.com, please do so. And we've got 6 short days until this exciting election.
What have you learned? I guess you're knocking on doors, I assume, and like going to meetings and events and rallies. What have you learned from voters that you're surprised about?
Yeah, so I am. I'm surprised. Maybe not a great word. I love meeting people. I've met some fantastic people. This district has some amazing, amazing people. You know, I've also been surprised at how much just incredible beauty there is. I'm one of these guys who will pull over on Taconic at the rest stop, even though I drive Taconic every day, and I'll take photos around exit like 88 or 92 or wherever that is, around Ghent. I'm like falling in love with upstate New York every single day. Not to sound cliche or nerdy or whatever, but this district is just incredibly beautiful. And the people who live here are amazing. I was down at Schuyler Court, to people who have millions of dollars. I've spoken to people who are struggling to put food on the table and just everyone in between. And it's been tremendously fun, rewarding. Fun's not the right word, but rewarding. It's been very uplifting while at the same time, you know, being really tragic to hear people's struggles. And so it's just been overall a very spiritually filling existence to be able to run for assembly and talk to people, because I've talked to probably, like I said, about 14,000 doors I've knocked on at this point.
Boy, that's a lot of knocking and walking and stuff. I wanted to ask about one issue that I didn't see on your website, which seems to be pretty important, that connective kind of to many issues is the lack of affordable housing. And you know, you're talking about the cost of living going up, and it's pricing people out of living here, and often people that need to do jobs that don't get paid as much. And there's no incentive for developers. They are all busy building expensive houses and expensive apartment complexes and not affordable or workforce. And there's been a lot of more, market forces in the past years. There's a survey of buildings recently that said in Greene County, we actually have fewer buildings than we did 10 years ago. So there's definitely less housing if there's fewer structures. And then there's all these different points. There's not enough hotels, so there's more Airbnbs and more incentives for people to rent out their what they used to rent out as apartments to Airbnbs, and all that drives up the cost of living and the cost of housing for everyone. And then the pandemic happened, and a zillion people moved into this area and made everything that I just said much, much worse. So I don't know if this is more of a Chatham Planning Board question or a assembly question, but what should and what government organizations should try to work on this issue, or what would you like to do about affordable or workforce housing?
Yeah, great question. We bought our house in, not to make everyone jealous, but we bought our house in September 2019, like right before the pandemic hit. And then thank God we did, because 6 months later, we couldn't afford to buy our house had it been on the market then. Affordable housing is an issue I hear everywhere. I was in Hudson yesterday walking around. I was like, oh, there's a house for sale. It's really, really nice. It's $600,000. I can never afford it. And I looked at it and I went, you need $200,000. I mean, the houses that are for sale are not even at the list price of a house you could buy. You'd have to put so much money into it. And that's, you know, that's one city. I mean, Chatham, we have very few houses for sale. Same with everywhere else. One thing that I've noticed is that Hudson is doing some really cool innovations in terms of affordable housing. And that's something I'd like to see spread throughout the district. Hudson, Mayor Kamal Johnson's partnering with an organization that's also doing work in the town of Poughkeepsie. Sorry, they may be doing work in the city of Poughkeepsie. They're doing work in Poughkeepsie to bring affordable housing. It's great because it's not the stereotypical affordable housing. Like we've got Section 8 housing in Chatham, but it's kind of like way out there and, you know, it's stigmatized. And this is going to be beautiful housing, mixed income, bike paths, really accessible, really clean, really nice. And it's going to actually bring people out of low income communities and put them in these mixed income communities, or give them the opportunity to, And it's going to elevate a lot of people's social standing. And that's what I'd like to see expanded. So I'd be very interested in working with both the mayor of Hudson, along with the developer, and bringing that model to other communities. From what I understand, just as a participant in that meeting, or sorry, an attendee in that meeting, the project is relying solely on grants. So Hudson's not having to fork over money. It's not raising anybody's taxes. It's a workable solution to a very real problem. And that's something I'd like to see expanded. I think we need to get creative. I'm not a big believer in government mandates or government being the solution. I'm a big believer in people getting creative to solve problems. And so that's something I'd like to see expanded throughout the district.
And they actually had a more traditional affordable housing proposal before that that got shot down. So that goes to your point of that this model might be a little better. I guess the major ultra issue, if you're deciding to vote Republican or Democrat and not by individual candidates, which I'm not recommending or anything, but is that the Democrats currently hold a supermajority, and electing you might you might be the vote that ends the supermajority if you are defeat Dee Dee Barrett. So you Republicans would have a greater check on Democrats' one party rule in Albany.
Yeah, and I'm very honest. That thought had not even occurred to me. I'm a guy looking at our property taxes and our bills going, how the heck are we supposed to afford this? So I'm not even thinking like that. A vote for me is a vote for pragmatism, and a vote for a guy who cares about his community to just try to make it a little bit better. I'm not a party man. I'm a normal guy. I'm a teacher, volunteer firefighter, and a father. So I know we're up against it. I didn't want to go long there.
No, that's good. We have a minute and a half, and I can fill in some of that, but I will give you any final word you want to say to voters.
Yeah, I'll just say that I've probably knocked doors in whatever community you live in. I'm out everywhere. I'm a normal guy. My palm card on the back has me, my wife, and our son. I'm very accessible, very approachable. I'm not an extremist in any respect. I'm willing to answer anybody's questions at any point. And my views are views that I hope reflect the values of the district, because that's who I am and that's what I care about. And I just want to improve things for everybody. So I just want to thank everybody for your support. Thank you for the kind words. This has been an incredible journey. I hope it doesn't end in 6 days. But thank you, everyone.
All right. You you've been mostly in real time. There's been a couple words that were drawn out slowly in weird computer. But most, I think everyone heard most of what you said. So thank you, Brandon Gaylord, for joining us today. Running in the 106th Assembly District, voting is currently going on tomorrow. I think it ends right now today, but it's on tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and then Tuesday.
Correct.
All right, that's our sound that we have to go, but thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
On Monday, November 7th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. Hear from Paul Tick about the town of Bethlehem's proposal to preserve historic farmland on the November ballot. We'll also hear more about the midterm elections, which end on Tuesday, November 8th, so get out and vote.
10 a.m. on the Afrosonic Taxi, there's all sorts of mambos. 3 p.m., there's all sorts of noises on the radio. 4 p.m., Kieran Riley hosts a WGXC afternoon show live from Western Massachusetts. And there's a midterm election special on the All Together Now show at 6 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., Winslow from Athens is live from Acre with his new Upon the Cypress Bow show, music from Western Asia, North Africa, and Central Asia. And then Nick and Lisa from Palinville are live from Acre at 10 p.m. with their Radiant Point show on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm 20, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I'm 11, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish
things. and that's what we're going to do today. Sorry.
Before we talk about books, we are through the Tower Power Pledge Drive, but we want to thank everybody that showed support for WGXC during the Pledge Drive and became a sustaining donor or made a donation or otherwise supported the Pledge Drive, because we love WGXC and we want to stay on the air.
How many sustained supporters did we get?
I don't know how many sustaining supporters in total, but I know we did not quite, but we're very close. So there's still time for people. I mean, people can sign up as sustaining supporters anytime. They don't have to wait until a pledge drive. They could go on today and become a sustaining supporter. And I don't know if this includes my increase, because I decided I'm going to increase my sustaining support because I love WGXC. It's been a huge, important part of my life since 2011, 10 maybe. You know, I started doing work with WGXC in 2010. But it was 2011 when the radio show launched and the radio station launched. So it's been an important part of my life since then. And I value it so much that I'm upping my monthly contribution.
Also, you know what's very interesting?
Yes.
I did not know this until a few months ago, but actually, apparently, my dad would listen to WGXC every day when I was in preschool and on, even before I was on the show. It's so funny.
when you're a little teeny tiny baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm having trouble finding the email that says exactly how close we got. But if you look at the thermostat, if you find that thermostat online somewhere, you'll see that we're really close to reaching our monthly goal. So I hope listeners will join as sustaining supporters and help WGXC meet their fundraising needs and stay on the air. And then before we dive into books, I just want to ask everyone how their Halloween was. I know you all are big Halloween fans, get really into it. Did you have a good time?
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
It was great. I went trick-or-treating with my best friend and I got a lot of candy. Well, less than I usually get, but I usually get way too much. So I got a really good amount this year. Mm-hmm. And my best friend and I, before we went trick-or-treating, we ate fried chicken, watermelon, pizza, and sushi for dinner. And Zoe and I both had a rough day, and we were both so tired that we only went to like 8 houses, but we still got a lot of candy. Because these houses, we would like go up to them, and there's one house where like they literally threw like 4 pieces of candy at each of us. And there's one house where literally they said, take as much as one hand can hold. So we had to like do that and like get so much out. We had to like take a fistful and get it all out. It was really fun.
We ordered pizza while we were giving out candy, and we gave
a handful. It was a pizza kind of Halloween.
Yeah. We gave a handful of candy to the pizza guy.
Oh, that's nice.
We had a little skeleton prop set up in a chair next to our house that the pizza guy tried to give the candy to first because it was dark before he realized it wasn't a real person and sitting in the chair. It was really funny. But yeah, it was a good Halloween.
Halloween was not that eventful for me, but we had the Ghostly Gallop that weekend, the day before Halloween. And that was so much fun. There were so many people that came out. Such a fun event. Yeah, it was just great. The last two races were virtual and it's just not the same, obviously. So it was great to be in person again and get to see so many people having a good time. And it was such a beautiful day. The weather was great. It was just perfect for the race. So thank you to everyone that came out for that.
I saw the Ghostly Gallop happening when me and my dad and my mom were all driving to get like last minute pumpkins to carve. The ones we got were too small.
Yeah.
We're like, go runners. We ended up losing a pumpkin because it rotted really fast for some reason. One of them rotted faster than the others. So we put it outside as like a kind of offering for this squirrel that lives by our tree, so that the squirrel would not eat the pumpkins we carved. The squirrel has not taken its offering yet. I haven't actually seen the squirrel in several days, so I'm not sure where it is.
The squirrel is so offended by the rotten pumpkin. It's like, I'm out of here. They don't get to see me for a while.
Yeah, that's fine by me. That thing, it's gotten so fat on seeds from our bird feeder that are meant for the birds. So, yeah.
Well, moving on to books. Does anyone have a book they wanted to talk about this week or a bookish thing? Nope. Oh, I guess the show's over. Bye.
No.
Just kidding.
Asher. So the book that I'm going to talk about today, this is a graphic novel memoir of the ballerina.
Oh my gosh.
The sticker is covering your name.
We hate it when libraries do that. My school library was like notorious for putting stickers over the descriptions.
Yes. Ah, found it. Okay. So this book is called To Dance, and it's a graphic novel memoir by Sienna Cherson Siegel, and the artwork is by Mark Siegel. And this book was really good. It's a shorter graphic novel. It's shorter, definitely not as long as most. The artwork is beautiful. It's done in these beautiful watercolors, and the writing is great. And I think all ages would enjoy this, like younger kids, older kids, adults. I think anyone could enjoy this. It's really good. And it's about the dancer, Sienna. It's about her career and her moving from Puerto Rico to the US and going to ballet school, SAB. And it's amazing. And it says it's ages 8 to 14, but any age could enjoy this, in my opinion. So I'm going to read the description. Dancers are young when they first dream of dance. Sienna was 6, and her dreams kept skipping and leaping, circling and spinning. from airy runs along a beach near her home in Puerto Rico to dance class in Boston to her debut performance on stage with the New York City Ballet. To dance tells and shows the fullness of her dreams and the rhapsodic life they led to. Part family history, part backstage drama, here is an original first-hand book about young dancers' beginnings and beyond. So that was To Dance, a ballerina's graphic novel by Sienna Cherson Siegel.
I forget if and how she's related to Mark Siegel.
Probably married.
Could be. I read that one a long time ago. I don't remember it that well, but I remember liking it. Mark Siegel is, in addition to being an artist and a graphic novel writer and illustrator, he's also the founder and creative and editorial director, I believe, of First Second Books, which is a really great publisher of graphic novels. And the book that I wanted to share is actually from that publisher.
I did not know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, they have a lot of great books. I kind of look to them for a lot of good middle grade, especially picks. They also have adult and teen, and I think, I don't know how much they have like little kid graphic novels, but they have a lot of great middle grade novels. So the book that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to read the description because I read it way back in March as a preview copy. So I've been waiting to talk about it when people could actually get their hands on it because it just came out November 1st. And it's a really sweet sort of fantastical adventure story that was really sweet and creative and interesting. Like the world is just really fun. There's lots of interesting creatures and I think people would really like it. But I'm going to read the description just because it's not super fresh in my mind. It's been a while. It's called The Wondrous Wonders. It's by Camille Jordi. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing their name correctly, but Camille Jordi. And here's the description. With irresistible wit and brilliant strokes of watercolor, Camille Jordi brings this dreamlike fable to life. Wondrous Wonders is a tale of pure magic for children and adults alike. Hurt by her parents' divorce and struggling to accept her new stepfamily, she decides to run away and live alone in the woods. They didn't say who she was yet, but she soon discovers that she's far from alone. Joe stumbles into a fantastical world full of tiny elves, talking foxes, and mischievous multicolored ponies known as the Wondrous Wonders. Her new friends are on a mission. Rise up against Emperor Tomcat, the tyrannical leader who rules the enchanted forest they call home. Can Joe find the courage to vanquish an evil empire and get back to her family before dinner time? You have to read to find out. But yeah, so I read this back in March and I thought it was really fun. I look forward to seeing it in person because the preview copy I had was a digital copy. It's not the exact same experience as reading a book like live in your hands on paper. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. I think it's a fun little, you know, the stories where you're in like the regular world and you go through like a door or portal or something and all of a sudden you're in this like totally different space, like Narnia or The Wizard of Oz, those kind of stories, Peter Pan. It's like that, where she's on like, I think they're on a camping trip at the beginning. And then she like wanders off into the woods and sees some tiny little people on these little horses and follows them through like, I think it's a sewer drain and comes out the other side and is in this totally magical place. Goes on a little adventure and then maybe comes back in time for dinner time. But yeah, I'm going to check it out again. And I think other people would like to as well. I do think this is a good middle grade pick. And I don't remember anything too much for little kids. And I enjoyed it as an adult. So if you're interested in a little fantasy adventure in a new world, check out The Wondrous Wonders by Camille Jordi.
Mm-hmm. That sounded really good.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. And I feel like there's other stories that are like it in the sense that they have a character going from a like recognizable world to a non-recognizable world, but I haven't seen it as much in comics, I don't think. So I thought that was unique and fun and very colorful. Lots of pretty colors. Yeah, that's my pick for the week.
Awesome.
What did you want to share, Amelia?
I have something that I was waiting to share in October, but then I didn't because I kept reading more of it. And with every like page I read, I was like, I don't know if I should share this yet, but I'm sharing it today because we are all here. It's called Tender is the Flesh by Augustina Bastarica. I found it on a most disturbing books iceberg like list, tier list thing. And I was like, well, I need to read that now. It's just obviously challenging me. That's just, if you put a book on a most disturbing tier list, that is a challenge to me personally. So it is, I actually found it in Barnes & Noble. I didn't order it after I saw it on the tier list. I just happened to stumble upon it. And it's one of these books that it seems like has been out for a while because the back, instead of a description, is just a bunch of reviews. And usually that only happens when a book has been out for a while. It's the winner of Argentina's Clarín Novela Prize. It is a dystopian novel about a world where all meat has become toxic to humans. So they're forced to eat human meat.
Well, I was going to say go vegan, but, you know, sure.
Yeah, that is a thing you could do, but no, not here, no. And it's illegal to see the humans that are being eaten. They're referred to as stock. To refer to them as human is a punishable offense, basically. And we follow this man named Marcos who works in one of these meat processing plants. And it's told very, very bluntly, like very nonchalantly it is told. And I kind of like that because there's no over-the-top horror about it. It is just a very casual, this is what I do from day to day. This is the job I do. These are the animals I work with, to the point where you sometimes forget what this book is even about. You have to remind yourself that he's not talking about cows or pigs. He is talking about humans. This is definitely a novel for like adults or older teens, but I wanted to share it because it's really, really, really good so far. I have a feeling it's going to get darker, but it is very good so far. So it's for those who would enjoy that kind of stuff. It's not over the top at all. Like I said, for me, books that are disturbing kind of lose their effect if they become overly gross or gory or ridiculous, but this one doesn't do that, and I like it. I was going to share it in October, but I did not because I forgot to share it in October.
It's okay. You can extend the spooky season book suggestions.
Yeah. Also, Fatia was here, and I figured maybe I shouldn't.
Don't terrify Fatia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, if it ever comes to a point where you can't eat meat, like lentils, nuts,
yeah,
beans, tempeh, tofu, there's lots of options for getting your protein. Just saying.
Like Emily.
Like me? You can eat me?
Yeah. You're a good source of protein.
Oh, yeah. Are you vegan?
My stock.
You're not. Are you vegan?
I thought she was saying that you could eat meat.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I was wondering. I couldn't be vegan. I like cheese too much.
I like
vegetarian, maybe. Maybe vegetarian.
No, I would never be able to be vegetarian. I like pork way too much.
Mm.
Pork is like my favorite food. Pork is just so good. I mean, you got bacon. Like, I have not met a piece of pork that I have not liked. Seriously. I'll eat anything pork.
You need to try like carbonara or something, but like the real carbonara that comes from Italy, because real carbonara is made from like the meat from the jowl of the pig, but it's supposed to taste really good.
Apparently. Wait, like spaghetti carbonara?
Yeah, spaghetti carbonara.
Bleh, I hate that.
You gotta try the real stuff. The Americanized stuff isn't as good.
Okay, I'll try. Yeah. Also,
as long as you don't eat meat.
I sort of have my own form of like vegetarian, but not really. I don't eat any baby animals, like no veal or.
Have tried lamb before.
I have several times because my mom like makes lamb for dinner and she's like, and I keep telling her like I don't even like lamb anyways, so.
It's a weird taste. I want.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But it's expensive, and I've never gotten. Yeah,
my mom will guilt me, and like also my sister is really picky, and I'm the kid that'll eat like almost anything she gives. But my sister is so picky, So I usually just guiltily eat it, and then I guiltily try it, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. I've never gotten the opportunity to try veal.
I never have. Well, I've gotten the opportunity, but I did not take it up. I do not want to try veal at all.
I'm sorry. If you could hear my cat meowing, she's here. She has a rat.